All right. Is that better? Yeah, that would have wore me out trying to speak loud enough for all of you. I think it was about 40 years ago I first came to Riverton. And at that time, it was a much smaller congregation, and it looked different. That was at least three buildings ago. And so what a joy to be here. And one of the great things about getting older is that you have all these people in your lives that along the way you have connected because of Jesus. And by the way, that's why I'm here today. That Jesus connection. And and along the way, you know, you have, for me, I have sons in the faith. Besides my biological children and grandchildren, I have sons in the faith. And one of them would, of course, be Wesley Davis. And I have daughters in the faith. One of my daughters in the faith lives in France, and she is a refugee, but I get to pray with her every week, at least once, and she is from Damascus, Syria, and I'd give her name to you, but not here. About a third of the countries that World Renewal serves, of those 60-plus countries, are persecuted countries. And so we can't always give names. Now, for instance, this picture right here, that gentleman is a pastor, but I call him a circuit rider. And he doesn't ride horses. You can see what he rides there. And obviously his back is to you, so you can't see his face. And that's he and his son. He is a prolific church planter. And he's planting house churches where it's illegal to do that. And again, I would be glad to tell you face to face what country we're talking about. But in that country, one of our pastors right now is under great persecution. The secret police are following him, interrogating him. And just yesterday, I received a prayer alert, and I'm asking you to pray for that pastor. You can think of him when you think of what it might look like, but pray for Percy. I never thought I'd end up raising funds for attorney fees to get pastors out of jail, but that is something that I do now, and so with the Israeli-Hamas war, everything has intensified in all these persecuted countries. So pray for those folks. I wanted to bring you a report also. You have been so wonderful to support Pastor Mala in Haiti. I can't describe to you how chaotic and oppressing it is for the people of Haiti. All of the medical people have left. There are no doctors, there are no nurses because of gangland rule. Gangs rule. They are the ones ruling the country. And it's not safe to go anywhere. People can't travel and visit family like we did this last week. They can't do it. It's too dangerous. And people are being killed, and people are being kidnapped. And that's the chaotic atmosphere that Pastor Mala is working under. We have two lead pastors in Haiti, Pastor Luke Joseph and Pastor Mala. Pastor Luke Joseph has been with us longer. The main church that has really stood behind Pastor Mala is you. how can we help him? We can't go visit. It's not safe to go. He needs teachers that can come and teach the children and the orphans in the school and the orphanage. And he doesn't really have reliable transportation right now. And so those are two things. When you pray for him, because the government has broken down, he can't get a visa to come to the United States. He and his wife need to come, and we want to help them come. But he can't even get an appointment. His appointment's like sometime in late 2024 to get a visa. So would you pray for him? Because we see those kind of visa things. We see miracles in those all the time. Yeah, and so we are expecting a miracle there for Pastor Muller. He's extremely tired. You can imagine how exhausting it is. Not only because he's always been extremely protective of the children and the people around him. There was an occasion when there was a hurricane coming, and if you don't have electricity, that means you don't have radio, you don't have TV, whatever. And he knew his neighborhood didn't know a hurricane was coming. And he saved hundreds of lives because somehow he found out that it was coming. And he intervened and begged and pleaded with people to go to higher ground, and he saved hundreds. He has been through so much. And thank you for helping him. But I can tell you, you're the main church that helps him. And I'm grateful, but I want you to know he's in great need. And the thing that we need most is for Jesus to intervene into Haiti and into he and his ministry's life. It's really tough. And as an organization, as a ministry, it's really difficult to help them right now. And many of us have been in Haiti many, many times and want to help. It's just a really difficult task. I want to introduce you to one of my dear friends, one of those connections that I've made along the way. Yesterday, he is my driver. This is Wayne Phelps. He lives in Cleveland, Ohio. I live in Greenfield, Indiana, near Indianapolis. So we don't live close together. He was with me when I came last year. He was my driver, and obviously I need some care. But he's also a dear, dear close friend, Wayne Phelps. Won't you welcome him here? Yeah? Thanks. Thanks for doing that. Yesterday, last night, he drove me here from Ripley, Mississippi. A daughter in the faith. I had a great opportunity yesterday. One of my daughters in the faith, she's Chinese. And 10 years ago, I had part in introducing her to Jesus. She didn't know anything. And she'd come to services like this. She came to service. She was serving an internship at a bank in Hugoton, Kansas. And she was getting her master's from K-State. And she was staying with the Kinzer family in the Hugoton Bethel Friends Church. And they loved on her. They showed her Jesus. And it just, the Lord put interest in her when I came to preach in that church, and she came to every service. And I'll never forget one night before church, she stopped me and she said, "Oh, Pastor Gary, I really enjoy this." She said, and she moved her hands. She says, "I feel something and I like it." And I said, "Ying, that's Jesus that you're feeling. And he loves you." And God performed some miracles in her life as she came to Christ. And yesterday I participated in her wedding. She married an Italian guy. So it's quite an international event yesterday in Ripley, Mississippi. And her family from China, her parents were there. And they're getting ready to go back to China. And they never heard the gospel. And after her dad and Wilbur Kinzer from Hugoton gave her away, she asked me to present Jesus to her family. And they had a translator. Her parents sat on the front row. And I got to share Jesus and how human history started with a wedding. And honey, it's going to end with a wedding. And so it was so fun. And she sent me a text this morning thanking me and sent me a link to the service. So it was pretty cool. Wayne, would you tell these people how you and I met?
Yes. I can tell you that you don't have to be Chinese not to know Jesus. I was 49 years old when I met Gary. And I did not believe in God or Jesus or anything. I wasn't what I would consider an atheist. I didn't care what you believed, but I just couldn't buy into it. And I had been drinking since I was 13 years old. I drank daily since about the age of 16, with a few spurts of sobriety, but nothing much. And I was 49 years old. Occasionally I would black out. But I was a functioning alcoholic, which means I went to work and you know, I supported my family and did all those kinds of things. But really, on the inside, I was a mess. And a lot of what I did was messy. And I had just gotten, I was in a blackout, drunk, driving home. And I hit a person who was jogging, and I didn't know if I had killed that person or not. And I was in the hospital, wondering what had happened, because I couldn't remember. And when I left the hospital, they didn't take me to jail, so I must have not killed somebody. That was a turning point in my life where I thought I need to do something. And AA is very big in Cleveland, and so there's a large network there, and I called the AA main office, and they sent me to a meeting Saturday night, and I went to that meeting. And, you know, I was never an alcoholic till I joined AA, if you can believe that. But anyway, that's where you learn, or that's where you begin to overcome your denial. But I was sitting on the side of the bed, and I told my wife that, you know, I think I've dug a hole so deep I'll never get out. And she said, I have the number of three churches, and the first one that answers the phone, I'm going to it. And I asked her if I could go, and that was Willoughby Hills Friends Church. And 3 weeks later, Gary showed up at that church and told a story. And you want to tell us the story? A little bit of it?
I told the story of a gentleman that, like Wayne, was a lifelong alcoholic. And long story short, I can do short stories. I really can. He ends up knocking on the door of my house as I was pastor of Haviland Friends Church. And, you know, he was a grumpy old angry man who my dad was pastoring in Idaho, and he sent this grumpy old man to my house, and he lived with us for several weeks. And, you know, he was into the AA 12 steps, and he said that he needed to find God. That's the way you'd say it, God. And I said, well, you really need Jesus. And he'd say, well, I need my higher power, God. He was a real intellectual guy. But he came to Christ. And I told that story in an 8:15 service. Can you imagine going to church at 8:15 in the morning every Sunday? I can't. I'd be afraid I'd wake up and I was preaching. I'd fall asleep at 8:15. But anyway, that's where we met. And what happened?
Well, at the end of the service, Gary was down in front, and I don't think he expected anybody to come down, because I guess only Christians go to the church at 8:30 or 8:15. But
that's been my experience.
But I surely wasn't that. And I told him the story about your friend Jerry. I said, that's me. That's what I've experienced. And he asked me if I'd like to do something about that, about my life. And I said, yes, I would. And he said the sinner's prayer with me. So the next morning, I think some of you might know Adrian Haverstadt. He was the president, the pastor for that 8:15 service. And he mentored me in the beginning until he moved to Haviland. And I went into his office the next morning and I said, Gary, I accepted Jesus yesterday, but I have no idea what I got myself into. And he laughed and he began to bring me along, mentor me in my walk.
You know, and you know, there are certain people that when they give their lives to Christ, they go into some kind of high gear of trying to learn everything they can about the Lord Jesus and about the Bible and God's Word, and he was one of those. And it's been amazing. That was 21 years ago, last September. And he is now one of the board members of World Renewal. But he is also what I would call a gospel patron. And Wayne owns, he and his dad founded a large, from my point of view, now he would say a small factory in Cleveland, Ohio. It takes up about a city block, so it's hard for me to think of that as small. And over the years, Wayne has become what I would call a gospel patron. In fact, he introduced me to that term. That was not part of my vocabulary. What is a gospel patron, Wayne? Because you are one.
I just kind of fell into that, I guess. But, you know, I began to support World Renewal. And I supported Gary more than World Renewal because I felt I owed him my life. And so I didn't know anything about tithing, and I began to learn about that. And I actually talked to Adrian about it a little bit because I wanted to give to the church, but I also wanted to give to World Renewal. And so that journey began, and I don't know, I just felt that the World Renewal, not just the mission field, but the office, and Gary needed help to support their work. Because without World Renewal and the office and the people doing the administration, the mission field doesn't have a chance.
But you know what? You don't just support World Renewal and your local church. Wayne has led the way with others in Northeast Ohio, and they have built 4 recovery houses. A men's house, a women's house, a third house for women and children, where they can go and recover, and you're getting ready to build a 4th one, right?
Yes, we're looking for the funds now.
Okay. And so, obviously, he made a decision, but along the way, he's become a gospel patron. How would you define a gospel patron?
Well, you go out and do the work, and I'm not qualified to do that. I like to be behind the scenes and help, but I can't do what you do, and you can't afford to do what you do without support. So that's how we work together, and that's the ministry.
And another part is that this man who owns a factory on the west side of Cleveland takes 10 days to drive me all over yesterday, Mississippi, Riverton today, Wichita tomorrow, and on. And that's a gospel patron, someone who makes sure that the gospel is preached. And down through history, there have been names that you know who have been people on stage preaching for centuries, but there was always somebody behind them making sure it happened. Thank you, Wayne, for letting me put you on the spot. That had to be a little embarrassing for him, so I'm appreciative that he gave me permission to do that. So thank you. Wow. He's 36 years old, and he was sitting at the stoplight. It was really a beautiful sight in view that he had. It was an intersection looking out over a body of water. And he was on Division Street. And the road that he was looking at in front of him was the Bay Road. But he wasn't looking at the beautiful sight. His life had never been so messed up. He had never been so distraught. In the prior days, a business partner had burned his house down because he knew he had an insurance policy, and the business partner wanted to squeeze him into giving him money from the insurance policy. And so he burned his house down. He'd been an alcoholic since he was 16. That's 20 years of his life. When his house burned down, his wife said, "That's it. Your affiliations, your connections, your business dealings, I'm done." He had a ledger and a half, back before there were computers, he had a ledger and a half of complaints against him down at the courthouse in their ledger from business deals that he had done. He finally had gone, as Wayne said, to AA. And he learned there that he needed to find a higher power. But he didn't know anything about that. And as he sat at the intersection there at Division and Bay, he prayed. And this is what he prayed. He said, "God, I don't know if you're a tree or a rock. But if you're out there, I need you. And the light turned green, and he went on through the intersection and turned left. He saw in the newspaper that a new church was being planted, a new church was being started in his town. He called the pastor, and he said, "Hello, my name's Paul. I'm an alcoholic." That's verbiage from AA, right? And he said, "But I don't know anything about God." And the pastor invited him over. He knocks at the pastor's door, and he comes in, and he introduces him and gives his full name. He said, I'm Paul Yost, and I'm an alcoholic. The pastor looked at him and said, "Did your house just burn?" And Paul didn't really want to talk about that because it had been in the newspapers. He said, "Yeah." The pastor said, "Your house burned? I've been looking for you. I've got a couple of Bible studies going to start this new church, and we've been praying for you, but I couldn't find you. I hunted for you everywhere, and I couldn't find you." And Paul said, "Look, I don't know anything about God." And the pastor bluntly looked at him and said, "Well, you know, I don't know much about alcoholism." And Paul looked at the pastor and said, "That's okay. Let's trade information." And I said to Paul, "Come in the living room here with me." You see, he said, "I was sitting at the corner intersection of Division and Bay. I said, 'God, if you're out there, I need you. I don't know if you're a rock. I don't know if you're a tree. I don't know anything about you, but if you're there, I need you.'" And he says, as the light turned green and I went through that intersection, he said, "I felt a warmth come over my chest." And he said, "Pastor, I don't know what it is, but it's the best thing that's ever happened to me. Can you help me keep it?" And I shared with him that that was Jesus. And it wasn't long before he got down on his knees and he prayed and asked Jesus to forgive him of his sin and to come into his life. He went home and told his wife. She thought it was just another one of his tricks. Those of you who love someone who's an addict know what I'm saying. He found out that the babysitter they had led one of his young boys to Christ. That young boy ended up graduating from Berklee College, if you've heard of that place. Paul went on. At the time he prayed that prayer, he had not finished high school. He finished his GED, went to Asbury College or Asbury University. Then he went across the street, went to Asbury Seminary, and graduated with a Master's of Divinity. He even pastored in Kansas. It's interesting to me what happens when God pursues someone, gives them an opportunity to change, and they say yes. It's just amazing what happens, especially if they're willing to continue to say yes. Because God will come back constantly into our lives and challenge us. He won't leave us where we're at. He constantly challenges us. As the lady, I loved it. She said, I want to be like Jesus. I loved what you said, hon. He challenges us over and over. He gives us choices. He doesn't bully us, although sometimes we may feel like he is. He is the gentle shepherd. But he will constantly challenge us. To me, the most iconic situation is about the story we're about to go into in this December month. And that is where God said to this teenage girl, whose name was Mary, the angel appeared to her and said, good morning. You're beautiful with God's beauty. Beautiful inside and out. God be with you. She was thoroughly shaken and wondering what was behind a greeting like this. Now, the Bible portrays angels and describes them, and they're huge, and they're mammoth. And here you are in a young girl in a little village, you know, where the houses are so close that you can just about hear people turn over in their sleep. A little sleepy village, and this huge thing shows up in your room and says, greetings. And the first thing angel has to do is say, don't be afraid. I'm not here to hurt you. This is real. This really happened. And the angel said, assured her, Mary, you have nothing to fear. God has a surprise for you. Excuse me, I've read the rest of the story. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son and call his name Jesus. Now, every Jewish girl knew that it was promised that someday the Messiah would come and that some mother would be the mother of the Messiah. She had to be just 13, 14 years old, something like that, in that neighborhood. And here she's being told that she's going to have a baby. Now, she was engaged or betrothed, or however you want to say it, to this guy named Joseph, who was most likely, you know, 30s or 40s. And this made, even though they had not lived together, they had not slept together, they had not had that kind of intimacy, they were legally, it was a legal, already legal marriage. That's the best way I know to say it. They were legally bound together, and they just hadn't had the wedding yet. But the arrangement, the contract, the covenant had been made. And she says, Mary said to the angel, but how? I've never slept with a man. And the angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the highest will cover you. And Mary said, yes. I see it all now. I'm the Lord's maid, ready to serve. Let it be to me, with me, just as you said. She said, according to Luke, she said, yes. You and I know that she had no idea what she was really getting into. But with God, we really don't know. If you are not saying yes to the Lord every day in your life and you're bored, just start saying yes. It'll get exciting real quick. And he will accomplish through you things that you look back on and say, oh my. I remember in 1985 when the two superintendents of the Friends churches here in Kansas came to Carol, my wife and I, and said, we want you to go on the road and do what I'm doing right now, preach in churches. And I said, well, can I just serve under the denomination? And they said, no. You need to form your own organization, which I didn't want to do. But they were wise. And so we did that. And so the first 5 years, I came to places like Riverton, served here in the United States. And now, looking back, 38 years later, and we're serving over 60 countries throughout the world. And I had to figure out ways to raise funds for legal fees to get pastors out of jail. Wow. Never expected that. Never expected to have an opportunity like I had yesterday to present the gospel for the first time to people who live in China. I never dreamed that. How exciting it is to walk with Jesus Christ. Mary's life, I don't think she had a dull day after that. Her life was one, I mean, I sure hope she didn't have to ride a donkey to Bethlehem. I hope it was in the back of a donkey-driven cart or something. You know, here she was expecting a child and traveling, I think is what, 90 miles or so? Wow. Pregnant? Not in the car? No convenience stores? Hey, Daddy, are we there yet? Yeah. Can you imagine? And don't you just love Mark Lowry's song? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would someday walk on water? Mary, did you know? Did you know that when you kiss your little baby, you're kissing the face of God? God is looking as far as the west is to the east and north and south. He's looking for people who are willing to say what she said, my life belongs to you. Whatever you want to do with me, you can do it. My answer is yes. And it's going to continue to be yes, no matter what you ask me to do. He's looking for people like that. Wayne doesn't ride with me and drive me places because I'm a nice guy. His problem is he said yes. And he continues to say yes to whatever God asked him to do. He asked me if he could drive me because he feels called to do that. He feels like God's asking him to do that. And he said, yes. You see, I want you to see a verse, and I skipped it earlier, and I'm so thankful for the folks back there in the booth. If you could go back where it says, Jesus is yes. It says, Jesus Christ is the divine yes. Now, I didn't make this up. This is scripture. This is 2 Corinthians 1, 19 and 20. Jesus Christ is the divine yes. Whatever God has promised gets fulfilled with the yes of Jesus. In him, Jesus, this is what we preach and pray. The great yes, God's yes, and our yes together gloriously seen. You see, God the Father and Jesus made a decision, and the answer was yes, that he would come and he would take human form and he'd show us how it's to be done. But he would also give his life so that all we need to do is realize that we are sinners and confess that to him and say, I want to live the way you want me to live. I want to walk with you. I'm going to trust you with my life. And the Bible says that's how we become a Christian and follower of Christ. But notice it said his yes to the cross and to walking this earth. His yes, God's yes. And look at that last part. And our yes together. When you find people like Mary who are willing to say yes to God, and it combines with God's big yes in Jesus, and the power of all heaven comes together, then there is a glorious, awesome spiritual explosion that changes lives. The Jesus revolution for us old people. Right? God's yes and our yes combined. And then gloriously seen. I am here today just to encourage you. Make sure you're saying yes to everything he asks you to do. Because when you combine his great yes, he is the yes. And you combine your yes with him, then you get things like here on earth, you get the breath of heaven. You know, before Jesus, during the 40 days after the resurrection, you know, he kept showing up to the disciples, you know, bing, he was there. You know, and he'd have to, first thing he'd always say, don't be afraid, you know, it's me. And on the first occasion, he did that. He looked at the disciples, and it says he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, they were about to change the world, but they couldn't do it without he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. In other words, you've known me in the flesh, but I'm about to come into you if you want me to. In a spiritual sense, I'm going to be with you forever to the ends of the earth. And he filled them with his presence. I remember as a young preacher, I used to say some pretty outlandish things. I used to say, I want to be so full of Jesus that when I wake up in the morning, the devil goes, uh-oh, he's awake. That was pretty bold. But I tell you, I sure hope when I woke up this morning, the devil said, uh-oh, he's awake. What's he going to do today? Where is he going to take Jesus? Because I live inside of him. I used to say as a young preacher, when I walk down the street and I pass someone, I hope I have so much of Jesus and the Spirit of Jesus that when I pass them, they go, what was that? You see, our bodies can contain Him, actually Him. But it requires us constantly saying yes. And every time we say yes to Him, we get rid of a little bit of self and of me and get a little more. He just comes on in. Each time we say yes to Him, we get more of Him. And pretty soon it overflows and the people around us. My daddy was that kind. He was awful to be around if you weren't walking with the Lord. I have firsthand experience, and he was just so full of Jesus, and I know how he got there. You know, he constantly said yes to the Lord, and he was constantly every day. I'd walk by the family room. There he was on his knees at the footstool, and he had the Bible laying on the footstool. And he was experiencing Jesus. He believed that every day you ought to pray through and touch heaven. In other words, to get the witness of the Spirit. That was his goal every day. I don't know if he achieved it, but I know that he achieved it enough that there were, when you were around him, you felt Jesus. That's my goal. That when people are around me, they feel Jesus. And I know the way to do that is everything he asks me to do, I need to say yes. Now, let me tell you, I don't always say yes. I wish I could confess that I always say yes. But sometimes I don't even hear him because I'm too busy working for him. Isn't that crazy? I guess I'm working hard for him. I don't hear him talking to me. You ever do that? I need to close this down. I have no idea what time you normally end, so forgive me. I didn't ask that question. I should have. Where are you at with Jesus? He wanted me to share with this with you today. And I've shared things today differently than I've ever shared with anyone. I believe there's some folks here who he's inviting, like he did Mary. Will you let my Holy Spirit hover over you and bring miracles in your life? That's what he's saying. But it's going to cost you. You're not going to get to do it always your way. You're going to do it my way. And we sat like that gentleman, my friend Paul, at the intersection of division or whatever. And one way you can turn is no. And we usually don't tell God no, do we? We just kind of ignore it. Say, just a bad thought. Are we going to say absolutely, entirely yes to whatever you ask me to do? Is there someone here today? He's been talking to you about doing certain things his way. You say yes or no, or I ignore you. Is there anyone here today who wants to come publicly and declare, God, I don't care what you ask me to do, I'm going to say yes. I'm deciding ahead of time. I'm committed beyond future choices of yes or no. My answer is going to be yes, no matter what you ask me to do. Is there anyone here today that willing publicly to make that commitment fresh and new? Would you be willing to get up from your seat and walk to the front of this place and pray with me? Because that's my prayer today. I'm 72 years old. And it's no longer, well, it's painful now to travel. But that's what he's asking me to do. And I love it. I love talking to people about Jesus. I know that if you will say yes to him, you will be blessed beyond anything you can ever imagine. So is there anyone else that wants to come and have prayer with me here at the front? Just get up out of your seat and you say unconditionally, my answer is yes from here on out. Would you come? Just maybe be easier physically if we all stood and so people could get out and come. He's calling people who would say, no matter what you ask me to do, I'm deciding ahead of time. My answer is yes. My answer is yes, no matter what you ask me to do. It's a predetermined yes. I call it committed beyond choice. Anyone else? You know, this is not just for young people. I mean, you have more information if you're like me and have this gray hair. You have more information than you've ever had in your life. You've had more experiences than so many other people. He doesn't waste pain. He doesn't waste our experiences. He needs senior citizens who say, I don't want to be on the shelf. My answer is yes. Whatever you ask me to do. He needs seniors to say yes. Doesn't he? We may not be able to work as hard physically, but we can work smarter. Anyone else? Willing to come. Hey, this isn't casual. This is serious, costly stuff. But you'll be blessed beyond what you could ever imagine. That's his promise in Ephesians 3:20. Anyone else? Pastor? Would you like to come and pray with us? I'm one of these that's at the altar saying yes to him. And would you like to have the prayer with us? Appreciate Pastor Aaron letting me come.
Pray with me. Father God, we come before you and we are grateful for those who have opened themselves up. And we ask at the very beginning of this service that we would be present here with you and that we would be here with, not just with our outside, but with our inside. And that's where your spirit does his work. So thank you for Gary's message. And I thank you, Father, for all these people who have come forward and are willing to say yes. Yes, they want to serve you. They want to do what you ask, and they want to be part of that grand mission with your kingdom and the amazing things that you have in store for us if we will just follow. And so I pray a blessing upon them, Father, that they would have ears to hear and eyes to see, that you would speak very clearly to them and that they would put away all the distractions and all the things that would draw them away from being obedient, because we find those so easily. But I pray, Father, that great work will be done as a result of what has happened here today. And we thank you for your Son. We thank you for your Spirit. And we thank you that you have revealed yourself to us as a Father so clearly. Father, bless these decisions, we ask in the name of your Son. Amen. And